everyone. You're listening to Physics Rules, and I am Tatiana Stancheva. Today I would like to talk about units. We frequently tend to overlook them when we're in the midst of solving a problem, but without them, our answers are actually quite meaningless, and let me show you why. Imagine I were to tell you that I ate 2 for breakfast. Now, unless you think I ate the number 2, your natural follow-up question here will be 2 of what? Apples? Oranges? Bowls of cereal? So you see, without the qualifier of what, our answers just don't make any sense. So, what kind of units do we use in physics? Well, certainly not the units we tend to use for everyday life, at least here in the United States. An artifact from the times of the British Empire, the units of pounds, inches, miles, and the like, while commonly used in daily life in the United States, are actually quite impractical for scientific purposes. Take, for instance, the units of pounds. Did you know that we use them both to denote mass and force? It might not be a big deal if you're hopping on the weight scale in the morning, but trust me, they're an absolute pain in the neck if you're in the midst of a high-stake test. I would know. I've talked to frustrated students in the past. They lost points on their test just because the instructor meant pound force, while they worked it out as pound mass. Why on earth the physics instructor would do that beats me, but this is neither here nor there. So, when it comes to physics, I myself hating playing word games, so you're safe from me. All right then, you might as well ask, if not the imperial units, then what do we use in physics? Well, let me first let you on a secret. I've always suspected that it's the engineers who pushed for the unified, standardized system of units to be taught. It sure wasn't the physicists. The physicists that I have met tend to be a lazy bunch when it comes to units and frequently change them to suit their purposes. Anyway, the accepted system of units used in the introductory physics class is the metric system. In it, we'll use meters for lengths, kilograms for the mass, and seconds to measure time. We will also use prefixes. Some of them are pretty common, but others might not be so. So, take notes. Whenever I use capital letters in front of a unit, I'm working with 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000 of it. The small letters are reserved for fractions of the units. For example, capital K stands for 1,000 of a unit, and so a kilogram is just another way to say 1,000 of grams, just as a kilometer is 1,000 meters. Now, if it were up to me, actually, I would pronounce kilometer as kilometer. Just as a kilogram and kilowatt hour and kilobyte, doesn't that make sense? Anyway, never mind. Kilometer it is, at least in the United States. Far be it from me to set up new English pronunciations for this word here. Let me give you the most frequently used prefixes in the physics class now. The large prefixes, which are marked with capital letters, are capital K for kilo to mark 1,000 of something, capital M for mega to mark 1,000,000 of something, and capital G for giga to mark 1,000,000,000 of something. The computers are ever becoming more powerful, and so you might have also seen capital T for tera in the context of terabytes and terahertz. To summarize here, you need to know the following prefixes: kilo, mega, giga, and tera. Now, let's see what we have on the other hand for the small prefixes. We're going to have little m for milli, that stands for 1,000 of a unit, the Greek letter mu for micro, that stands for 1,000,000th of a unit, and then the little n for nano, that stands for 1,000,000,000th of a unit. This is why nanotechnology gets its name from, by the way. In nanotechnology, the scientists work with clusters of molecules or atoms, which are normally the size of about 1,000,000,000th of a meter. If you're taking electricity or magnetism, you might also see a couple more prefixes, pico and femto. Pico stands for a fraction as tiny as 10 to the minus 12 of a unit, and femto for a fraction that is 10 to the minus 15th of a unit. So you might as well ask, what's the big deal about the units? You already know them, and perhaps you're right. But the trouble comes when someone gives you a measurement that is not in the units that you need. So take care before you plunge into solving that physics problem. Always check the units for consistency. Do you need to switch everything to meters? That speed of the car that is 65 miles an hour, do you need to switch it into meters per second? As far as unit conversions go, my favorite way to convert units nowadays is just hop on the internet and use the many free converters there that are out there. You can use the Google Search Engine native converter, or you can download an app for your smartphone, or find another web-based app for that. The standard physics textbooks always start with unit conversion in their chapter 1 and teach you how people used to do it 20 or even 50 years ago. I won't show you this here. It is a topic that is best explained in a video. So if you wish to study the old-fashioned way of conversion, or you need to know it for your upcoming physics test, check out the videos at www.physicsxxi.xyz. That's the website where I publish all my resources, including my videos. That's it for today. In the next episode, I'll talk a bit about nonlinear units, something simple and yet students continuously stumble over it on their tests.